the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. I am super pumped about this week's episode. I have Eric Pasley joining me. He is one of the most talented artists and songwriters I have ever met in my life. He's written so many number one hits. He wrote Jake Owens' Barefoot Blue Jean Night. He wrote Eli Young Band's Even If It Breaks Your Heart, Love and Theft's Angel's Eyes. He also wrote Rascal Flatts' hit song Rewind, and he wrote Friday Night, which was recorded for Lady Antebellum. Then he came back and released it as an artist. All the way to the top. He also was nominated for Song of the Year with his song She Don't Love You. Absolutely incredible. He's one of the most inspired songwriters out there. This interview is so good. It will motivate you to follow your heart and your higher force. I promise you. Y'all welcome Eric Pasley. Hey, Eric Pasley.
What's going on?
What you doing?
Hanging out in Nashville.
In your back house.
Yeah, we're in the little studio house back here.
So it's like a writing room / studio.
Kitchen, studio, hang. It looks old, but it's new.
I know. Y'all did some new, some renovating. And you're a renovator yourself.
I love it. Yeah.
That's a secret little side that I learned about Eric Pasley, is you're like handyman galore.
I like building stuff. I don't mind it. I built a gift for Paisley right underneath us in the garage.
Brad Paisley and I,
my distant cousin.
Brad Paisley and Pasley.
Yeah. Pasley.
Pasley.
No, Pasley. Pasley. It's all good.
Okay.
Paisley, Pasley. It's kind of like, it's close.
What'd you build for Paisley?
I built him the front end of a 59 Corvette out of wood. It just sounds ridiculous.
Just for being him?
Sound like Owen Wilson. Like, yeah, I made it a pure piece of wood like Jesus, you know? But, he loves those Corvettes, and I always build a gift for people when I go on tour with them. Just built one for Toby Keith, had like a Ford tailgate. Did like red. I used the red paint that I used on Paisley's Corvette on Toby's gift, red on a tailgate, and it was a Ford. I went to a junkyard, got an old Ford tailgate, red, white, and blue colors on it.
How special is
it's
that?
Fun. I always put lights in it. Right now, they're all. I always use battery type power just because there's so many cool options. And, you know, you can hang it wherever, set it wherever, don't have to plug it in.
When did you discover and how did you discover this talent?
I don't know.
And what do you call it? Woodworking? Building?
Just tinkering. I don't know. Being creative.
Like Natalie, your wife.
There are no rules. Don't stick creativity in a box when it comes to that.
You got to get it out. Natalie says you go on the road, you'll find like the stores with all the stuff. And I'm like, antique stores.
Usually antique stores. They have junk people don't know what to do with, and I'll figure out something to do with it.
So some of the stuff in your house, like, that you've found antiquing?
Yeah. There's probably a few things in here.
Like, what about that cabinet? It's made out of logs and ropes.
Yeah, all the old barnwood. That's definitely...
Did you make that?
Was at an antique store. I helped make it.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a little rapid fire.
I didn't actually level that. It's sort of curved.
Hey, but it needs...
It's good, though.
It has character.
It looks awesome.
It does look awesome. Okay, I'm going to start off with a little... First off, like, complete the sentence. So I'm going to say a word, and you say a word, and we're going to make a sentence.
All right.
Okay, you start.
Spider Monkey.
Happy.
Gilmore.
Davis.
County.
Crows.
Nest.
Hi.
There.
I always mess up on this.
It's entertaining.
Okay, let's do it again.
I haven't done this before.
Okay, I'll do one.
Okay.
Spider Monkey?
I just always, it's kind of the random thing. I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. It was Talladega Nights.
Okay, cheese.
Curds.
Hazies.
That sounds like a really bad disease.
Sorry.
Hazies. Hazies.
Okay, that was
a Hazies gave me a ride home.
Okay, I messed up. I'm not going to do bad. Okay, kindergarten.
Teachers.
Hot.
Mamas. That's pretty good. That's perfect. Kindergarten teacher, hot mamas. My new single's called Kindergarten Teacher, Hot Mamas. That's very serious.
Oh my God, that got me. Okay.
That's ridiculous.
High five.
That was good.
You're way better than me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try. That's what I do all the time.
Just like practice, like,
and just say words.
Complete the sentence.
Yeah. Both Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay. So we're going to get started. You are from Texas, Temple, Texas.
Grew up in Temple, Texas.
30 minutes from me.
I did. Right down the road from Waco, Texas.
But we didn't know each other.
No.
Crazy.
We didn't.
Because that's like almost the same city.
It is. And I lived in Waco.
Why?
From when I was like 2 to 7.
What were you doing in old Waco?
My dad was the manager of Southwestern Bell. And then we thought, hey, let's go up the road to Temple.
Why'd you think, hey, let's go up the road to Temple?
My mom's family's from Temple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was it growing up like? What was it like growing up in Temple? And is your family musical? Because when did you discover your musical talent?
Yeah. Music was always kind of around. My mom played organ. My grandfather was a musician. I didn't know my grandfather. He passed away when I was really young, but he was the musician in the family. So I heard stories and just always had music kind of around and just always was drawn to it. Loved playing it. Didn't love learning it a lot, but I loved playing it.
You picked up guitar at 15?
Mainly at 15 and started writing at the same time. And
okay, so did writing just happen? Like, were you like, I want to be a songwriter?
No, I just thought I want to play music. I didn't even know there was a difference between songwriter and singer. You know, I just thought you wrote your songs, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Because probably all the people that
most people think, I think most people think that these days still, that everybody writes their own songs, which a lot of them do.
Did you always know you wanted to be an artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what was confusing. I was writing songs for a publishing company.
Well, how old were you?
For like 4 years. I moved up here when I was 20, finished up school here at Middle Tennessee.
So you moved up here because you were ready to get into the industry.
Yep.
You're like, peace out, Texas. Smell you later.
Yeah. I knew that I wasn't rich enough to go to Belmont, which is a really good school. If you can afford it, go. But found out about Middle Tennessee, which has a great recording industry program. You just have to drive 30 minutes more. Which is research, because you're listening to music all the time. But
okay.
Did that in between parking cars and working at Starbucks and going to school and interning for free and all this and that, which is I'd do it all again.
Interning's I'd maybe really
park
great.
A couple cars I wouldn't park against. They just smelled terrible.
Oh, God. I bet you learn a lot about people from parking cars.
It's interesting.
You, like, what are some crazy things world. That you saw in people's cars that you wish you wouldn't have seen?
The scariest thing is, like, people show up completely wasted, and you're like, you should not even be able to live here.
Right.
It's terrible.
And do
people.
They drive the car off?
I usually would pass the keys off to the club and be like, you served them. Like, I'm not giving it to them.
Yeah.
This is on you. But that would be a whole other thing. But
I know, right?
But, wrote songs because the blueprint, I was just taught the blueprint is if you are a singer and you can write, then someone will probably invest in you writing first-ish.
How did you know
before you get
that?
The record deal. Just friends that had been in
when
town.
When you got to Nashville, you figured that out.
Did
you know
intern,
about publishing deals?
I had an just a mentor named Brian Gowan who had a record deal on Curb, had writing deals, went to school. His wife at the time, Shannon, she was like Scott Bruschetta's assistant at DreamWorks. So she'd like seen a lot of Nashville work, and Brian had too, and they were like, go to Nashville, you'll at least have 2.5 years if you finish up your degree there in music business. You get internships and just meet everybody and they know you exist. And you have a reason for being there.
Because you're in school.
Yeah. A specific reason for being there and learning somewhat about it, knowing that a publishing company doesn't sell books.
True
you
that.
Know, a music publishing company, you write songs. So I wrote songs for 4 years at a company, recording records, recording music.
To back up though, because it's kind of hard to get a publishing deal. So the
it
fact
is.
That you
it
moved
sounds
to town,
like I'm like it was so easy.
But the fact that you moved to town and got a publishing deal.
Well,
like,
I moved to town, and then 4 years later, I got a publishing deal.
Okay, so you just started networking and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wrote songs.
Graduated, went and worked at Starbucks, which was great.
What's your favorite drink at Starbucks?
I don't know. They're all pretty good.
Did you drink one every day?
I always, yeah. I learned that a soy milk latte with 2 pumps vanilla isn't as much sugar since I'm a juvenile diabetic. I usually do like 1 pump sugar.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want the fake stuff because I'm not really sure what it's made out of.
I know. I agree. It's better to go
fertilizer
sugar, but
or something.
Low dose.
But, it was good to work there. Best thing, health insurance for my juvenile diabetes. And it gave me time to write. I had signed a publishing deal about a year after I graduated college. Wrote and played shows and wrote and mainly played writer's shows. So played my songs I was writing with other artists. I'm sure we played shows way back then together.
We played some shows when you were signed, though.
Yes. And then wrote all these songs, and I wrote Barefoot and wrote Even Breaks Your Heart.
In that time
period? And wrote
what, Even
half
If It Breaks
the
Your
songs,
Heart?
Yeah. And then,
you wrote
and
that
then,
in that time period?
Yeah. And then
Barefoot,
then I,
Blue Jean
then
Night,
I got a record deal. So...
So you had that in
I
your
got
catalog
a record
already?
Deal, and then Barefoot came out 2 months later. So when I went on radio tour to meet everybody as a, as an artist, not as a songwriter, as a songwriter and an artist, it was like every interview was, so you're a singer, or you're a songwriter, why do you want to be a singer?
And you're like, and I've like, always been a singer, I just happened to write a song that got cut.
And I actually had a record deal before I had any songs recorded.
But the timing was just
the
like...
The timing was 2 months off. It was flipped.
Isn't that weird how that happens? Okay,
it's
so
all good, though.
I actually have a question.
It was frustrating at the beginning, and now I realize I have like five hits to play every... Or at least five number ones to play every night.
Okay, so I want to go through your number ones, because you have... Okay, Friday
it sounds
Night...
like I'm bragging. It's
no!
Just, it's just... It's kind of wild. It's just...
You
it's
have your own number one, Friday Night Light.
Friday Night Lights, too. It's about that, too.
And Lady Antebellum cut that song.
They did. It was on the Own the Night album.
Never put it out as a single.
Yeah.
So then you said... That's a hit.
Hey, you know what? I'll put it out.
And it was a number one for you. How did that feel? Because had you already had Barefoot Blue Jean Night as a songwriter, not an artist? How many songs have you had as a songwriter?
I had three number ones as a songwriter. I had three number ones hit in 1 year.
Tell me what they were.
Barefoot Blue Jean Night, Even If It Breaks Your Heart, and Angel Eyes with Love and Theft.
And Even
it was
If It Breaks Your Heart
like,
was Eli Young Band.
Yes. And what was so wild, all these, it's not like it all happened in that 1 year. It had happened in at least so many years before. They just somehow... had just piled up and just perfect timing. And I don't know if one Barefoot being a hit decided the other ones to be released of like, well, you know, Eric wrote
Eric's
that song.
Eric's on fire.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, it could have been that. And grateful that there's songs that I enjoy, you know.
So that all happened when you released Friday Night?
Right? No. I had a single out called Never Really Wanted, my first single.
Never
out.
Really Wanted.
Yeah.
Never Really Wanted. That I love that song. That was a great song.
I loved it.
So that was your first single?
Yeah, sacrificial single.
Sacrificial
single. Yeah, most everyone's first single is a sacrificial single because they don't know you yet, typically.
So it's just kind of like breaking you in.
And it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. This
you gotta get rid of one of your best songs first and someone might hear it.
Right. But did that open the doors
for you? And
that's
just part of it. The door's already open. I just, you know.
Walk
usually
it
takes a while for somebody to pass you the guitar at the party.
Okay.
You got to show up a few times.
So do you feel like your sacrificial single and your hits for other people mixed with you? Was Friday Night second? Was that your second single?
Fish Don't Bite was second. If the Fish Don't Bite.
Okay.
And it was between labels merging and it just all kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Which is an interesting
which
thing
it's never
that
been released.
Up.
Like it was an actual single and I have fans always ask for it and I'm like, I have no clue how you can buy it. And
so
it's
never
so
even
weird
released?
Where it's like... It was released, but nobody can buy it. It's kind of weird.
Huh. That's an interesting way to release a song.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting, the whole label process? We've talked about it a little bit, because it's an amazing thing to be a part of a label.
Absolutely.
But it's also a giant ship. And you wrote that song, Even If It Breaks Your Heart, which I think is interesting, because the music industry can break your heart. Was that based on a true story, or how did that come about?
Well, you grew up in Texas. So Austin, down on 6th Street, there's a bunch of clubs. Mm-hmm. And all that, and wrote the song with Will Hogue.
Love him.
And he was in like a really bad accident. Like he was on a moped driving and a van like ran over him. Like he should have died.
Yes.
And I remember he showed up on, we wrote one song called Highway Wings. On my highway wings. And that he recorded, but he was like on walkers. And then the next time we wrote Even If It Breaks Your Heart, and he was like on a cane. And like now I see him and I totally forget that he was like, shouldn't be walking ever. So props to you, Mr. Will Hogue, for freaking being tough as can be.
He wanted
to. But he put that song out on like AAA radio, which is very much country now. And Eli Young Band loved it. And I always told Mike Eli, they had the song for 2 years on hold. Like they hadn't, they were getting moved around on record deals of where do we put these guys? Mm-hmm. And they had Crazy Girl hit, which I'm so grateful for that, because then they were allowed to sing a song about dreaming. Like nobody was singing songs about dreaming.
Right.
Rarely are anybody singing songs about dreaming and actually getting heard. And the last song was like, if y'all don't cut this thing, it's going on my album. and hopefully a single. And but I just, you know, we kept our word and let them do it, and they did a great job and got it heard. You know.
So what does that song mean to you, even if it breaks your heart? Keep on dreaming, even if it breaks your heart.
Sorry, I told you the story and not the meaning.
I like the story, but tell me what it means to you.
I actually heard the story, and I'm probably pretty sure he's okay with me telling the story, but Marla Cannon Goodman, great writer, she's amazing, but her dad's Buddy Cannon, great producer in town.
And, I love Buddy. He does Kenny Chesney's
albums. You're right. He produces Kenny Chesney, you know, all kinds of great music. Donnie and Marie, I got a cut on that album.
I have her single right now.
Do you really?
Yeah, dog.
Bam. Way to go.
Yeah.
She's nice.
She's awesome. They're I'm interviewing
performers.
Her.
Do it.
Yeah.
She's going to be holding this mic.
Yes. Marie, he gave you a little kiss.
That wasn't creepy. You're awesome. But she, I remember Marla telling me the story that the day that she told her dad, because she was a nurse, and she was like, "Dad, I'm going to be a professional songwriter. I'm going to do it." And he said, "Okay." He was like, "But I'll just tell you that this business can break your heart every day." And that stuck with, and that was probably around the time that we wrote "Even If It Breaks Your Heart." Keep on dreaming, even if it breaks your heart. And that was the point, I think, of what he was saying was, "Hey, this business can break your heart every day because you have so little control over what people decide will be heard."
And that's the thing. There's a crew of people that make those decisions that maybe people don't realize, like the public doesn't realize.
I don't even know who that crew is, but somehow somewhere you can only like what you're given.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was very deep.
That was, but I almost don't get it.
But I'm sure that's where it came from. And you know, we were just riding, and it is interesting. Like, on, you know, certain times when you get to little speed bumps in the road, I go like, man, maybe I wrote that song for me too sometimes. You know, you go like, that's not really breaking my heart, but you can get disappointed going like, yeah, that's a bummer. Wish the politics would have lined up on that, which is okay. And it's such a cool thing, though. It's like to be able to write, and the fact that I any time a song is heard, I call it a million miracles.
That's a good point.
Because it really is wild. Like, it's famous because it was played a lot.
Right. There's it got a weird the chance
thing,
to be played.
There's a weird thing. Like, when a song gets played a lot on radio, it's because it got played a lot on radio. You're not really sure why it did or didn't.
Because right.
You hear great songs, and for some reason, they didn't get heard. And then you hear other songs and you're like, well, that's a cool song.
But why did that one get heard
even,
and this one
and
didn't?
Even the artist would be like, yeah, it's not my favorite, but
who cares? It worked.
But it worked. And it's that weird thing of like a million miracles that any of them get heard. Even though something has to be heard, it's kind of a catch 22. But the fact that so many people have to forget to say no is it's a million miracles that anything ever gets heard.
It really is.
You know.
So you,
which is that's why I'm so grateful that I get songs have been heard that I've been.
Well,
a part
the
of.
Fact that you've had 5 number ones.
That's crazy.
The fact that you have written 5 songs that have been heard.
5 million miracles.
You've had 5 million miracles.
Yeah.
And you are a songwriter, and I told you this last night because we were at Beyonce.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you met Beyonce.
I met Beyonce
Jay-Z.
And Jay-Z. I didn't even selfie with them because I'm trying to be cool.
I cannot even believe
that way.
You
the
didn't
next time they see me, I'll germ them then.
And Beyonce was in her sweatpants.
Yeah.
Looking like a million.
She's rocking like totally cool. Blue's their daughter, right? Is that their daughter's
Blue
name?
Blue Ivy.
Blue Ivy.
You met Blue too.
So she was back there.
You met the whole family.
It's so funny. She looked at me and Natalie, my wife, and she was like,
with her eyes, like, I see you.
Like, I'm watching you. It was awesome.
You
I was
met
like,
the whole family?
Yeah.
Did it's you
really
feel
cool.
Did you feel normal? Was it like a weird feeling? Or
you know,
they
it's
like
wild. I think the more you're around entertainers, music, like celebrities, you're like, we're people.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone, anybody in an audience could be, I'm not saying anybody could be that because they haven't put themselves out there or for some reason it just didn't line up or whatever that is. We all have our role in this world and it's not to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, some people are. It's
right.
A side effect of hard work and whatever that is.
Passion and talent.
Yeah. And but that doesn't mean you're the most important person in the world.
Right.
Like we all are.
I agree with that.
But kids are taught to be famous through all of TV right now, through everything.
I know, social media.
That means like 99.99% of everyone will fail at life, which is a complete lie. But But
what I was saying before I sidetracked on that.
We just go down tangents.
It's okay though, because we bring it back. You have a gift for writing songs that impact people. Like you wrote Even If It Breaks Your Heart, which is such an impactful song. And then you wrote She Don't Love You, which is one of my favorite songs, nominated for Song of the Year. You wrote that with Jen Wayne, my former bandmate. And that song was such an impactful song, so gorgeous. You also wrote this song, Deep As It Is Wide, that I freaking love that song. And we're all whole. What's that song? Whole?
Less than whole.
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to put that song out someday.
Less than whole. Yeah. When I was in Stealing Amy's, my band, you played that song.
Don't tell anybody.
You should at a writer's round. Can you just sing a little bit of it?
Yeah, there's nothing like forgiveness to resurrect a soul. Better to give than get it. I've been forgiven, so I'm letting you know. Nobody should be less than whole. It's higher than that.
I
love the verse of the gray clouds have departed. The stars light up the night. I've waded through the water. It's just a beautiful song. Wrote it with Big Kenny from Big and Rich. It was the first song we ever wrote.
And you get really high?
Yeah.
Then whole?
We figured it's like the forgiveness song, but we figured Don Henley already got that title. And then I realized like every title's been rewritten like 8 times this year. So we should just call it forgiveness. But less than whole. Thank you.
Less than whole.
Nobody should be less than whole.
That is the message that people need to hear. You have a way of writing songs that speak messages that people need to hear.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to help them hear them.
How do you do that? Like, how do you do that? It is. Is it you consider it a God-given gift?
Absolutely. You know, it's wild. I've been talking to a lot of people about having juvenile diabetes, and
how's that affected you?
I think how it's affected me is I'm not afraid to be an outsider, kind of.
Okay, explain that.
It's kind of given me guts to not worry about what people think about what I think.
Have you felt like an outsider because of juvenile diabetes?
You know, as a kid, you're like the one kid that has to stand up and go, I got to go to the nurse, you know, to go get juice box and crackers because if you have a low blood sugar level. So I'm like realizing through life, it's probably allowed me to like have the guts to do this for a living.
To just be yourself.
Like being a professional songwriter, professional singer is not normal.
No.
You know, but I wasn't afraid of it. And I've never had a doubt that it wouldn't work. I mean, I know that the odds aren't good, but I never doubted in myself that it wouldn't work. Like, I was like, and also trust in God that wherever I'm at is where I'm supposed to be.
Totally.
As long as you look at it with the right heart, you know. But I think, you know, when it comes to the songs that I decide to put out, and the songs that I decide to record, they're not always the easiest to promote. They're not always exactly what everybody expects.
Well, radio, let's give a little preface. Radio likes, especially when you're a newer artist, you're not like a superstar level yet. Radio likes it to be an easy pitch.
Well, we're also an escape. So, I mean, it's not every song's meant to change the world. I'm grateful not every song is less than whole or deep as it is wide or She Don't Love You. It'd be a very, like, deep, bummer world. I mean, I think it'd help people look up to heaven once in a while, but other than just look in a glass.
You just wrote a song right there.
There you go.
No, seriously.
There you go.
Write it. Look up to heaven, not look in a glass. You should go write that.
We could write that. We'll go talk to Michael and go write it.
Michael go write it.
But you know, and that's where I always, and being a juvenile diabetes, I can't really like tell people to go drink liquor. I enjoy a good beverage. Like I don't say I don't drink, but I can't promote it. I'd rather a juvenile diabetic live past 30 and like actually have a long life and still enjoy a beer and enjoy a whiskey, but not like forget the night.
Right.
Every time someone that's 21 comes to the show and it's like, have a blast, but remember it.
Right.
I think so many people, like, you get caught up in what you're supposed to, what you think you're supposed to do, and then you realize that you didn't even remember it. It's like, have fun on your 21st birthday, but, like, get a good buzz and remember it.
Right. So have you always been pretty
responsible?
We're
going all the down things.
It's great, though. Have you always been pretty responsible with your diabetes?
I think I was 10 years old when I was diagnosed, so I think I'm just kind of looking back, just, you know, going...
How it's affected you as a human?
It has affected me as a human. But to get back to your question...
But you had to grow up faster, too, because you had...
A little bit.
You couldn't just... You had to think about what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, I mean, I had to make sure, yeah, eat food, take shots. To get back to your question, yes, I think being able to write these songs is definitely a God-given talent, and I try to use it for good. But the fact that you go into a room and, like what I just said, we're just talking right now, and I just said, what did I say? Just look up to heaven as opposed to just looking in a glass, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how those get written. You yeah. say it, and then you go, what is that?
And, well, you just spit stuff out like
that's
that.
That's how
though.
Songs happen.
That's just your regular vocabulary.
Well, it's probably because I'm not afraid to say weird stuff.
Yeah, because that's where the good stuff is.
Yeah, it's just a cool journey. It's cool being in Nashville long enough. Like meeting Beyonce and Jay-Z, it was cool meeting them as people.
Yeah.
And it was cool also going out in the crowd and watching Beyonce be freaking amazing, like owning it and being powerful for women, and wearing what she wears, and to guys it's probably sexual, like maybe, but like she does it in such like a I'm a woman kind of way. It's powerful. It's not like slutty.
When she's married,
it was so
and she's
awesome.
Like,
but regardless, she, yeah. it's done in such a cool, tasteful way that you're like, yeah,
own your sexuality
cool.
like that.
It was
it's
cool.
empowering. Because also, sorry, now we're going on another road. I feel like there is such a stigma with like. Sexuality and being sexual, but that's a part of human nature, and she does it in such a way, like you said, that's just embracing yeah. it, and it's cool to see that
there's a certain balance.
There is a absolutely. Certain balance. There is a balance.
Absolutely.
Beyonce has found that balance.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of juvenile diabetes, how has that affected your life? You said it's made you okay to be like a little bit outside or yeah. whatever, not to be yourself, like how, what does that mean for your life? Like, how do you have to think about life with that?
I can't be on Survivor.
Why?
Well, because you can't eat on that show, apparently.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, 1 second can affect a life. Anything can affect a life. I'm grateful I was born in a time that they have treatment for juvenile diabetes. And, I mean, this thing here on my arm,
do you wear that all the time?
Tells me a reading of my blood sugar level. So, like, usually you'd prick your finger. This thing tells me one of those every 5 minutes on my phone.
Oh.
So, it's just amazing. So, like, it's moving along so cool. Like, just technology and research for juvenile diabetes is growing leaps and bounds right now. And so, I've never really been, like, angry that I had diabetes. I just kind of go, I have diabetes. It's fine.
It's just the way it is.
I'm grateful I was born in a time that I didn't eat just, like, basically, back in the day, if you were diagnosed with juvenile diabetes, it was like, and the doctor came around every once a year or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd basically been like, eat lettuce and tomatoes and you might live 2 years, maybe.
So was the life expectancy really young back in the day?
I mean, whenever you got juvenile diabetes, it wasn't good.
Really?
And it's not like it happens, like, it just happens. Autoimmune problem.
It's fine, right?
I take care of it. Yeah, I have an insulin pump, have a meter.
Awesome.
I'll have it my whole life until they cure it or whatever.
But how amazing.
It's amazing.
But see, and there you go again with your attitude. You always take the positive attitude. Like, and I think
yeah.
that's how you have a happy life. You take the circumstances you've been dealt, and then you just figure out how to make them great.
And then know that the circumstances you have, you're at least aware that there are circumstances. That means you've seen good and bad.
Exactly. So tell me about your journey in the music industry. Tell me, if you were going to write a song about your journey in the music industry thus far, because you have experienced more than most people ever could imagine. 5 number ones, major record deal. You've had your own number one as an artist. You've also had some songs that didn't do as well as you wanted them to do. But then you had She Don't Love You, nominated for Song of the Year. You've had a really incredible career.
It's just getting started.
It is. But how would you describe your experience so far? If you were going to write a song about it, like what would it be like?
Still catching up. Still catching up to the story I'm reading.
Okay,
you know,
break that down.
like, I feel like the book's just starting, and realizing that, like, I was on a plane. Someone told me that they heard that Blake Shelton, the guy that's on The Voice, was like, had put out an album finally. And I'm like, you know, he's on the show because he's like an amazing country artist. He is.
They didn't know.
So I realized how long it can take people to figure out what you do. And
it's hard to realize that because we all are in our own little worlds. So well, you're like, I mean, how does everyone not know?
And it's okay. You know, yeah. It's like, that's what Discovery's for, you know, the television. But I feel like I'm just realizing what all these chapters are mounting up to be and go like, that's the character that I am.
Okay, tell me the
chapters.
Even
through life.
Break. I want to have a little color. Tell me
first
about the chapters.
First chapter is, you know, find a poem you wrote for a girl and you didn't give it to her. And then someone said, you know, songs are like poems. So you write your first song. And then it's, okay, so these are cool new chords. I've never learned this while you're sitting in at, you know, Wednesday nights at youth group, figuring out how to play the guitar and faking the B minors because they're hard to play. The bar chords are hard to play. And then going, you know what? I thought I was going to be a doctor, but I think I'll be a musician because I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, come to Nashville, realize you're not supposed to go there yet because it's really expensive to go to certain schools. And I was born in the wrong family. And I'm grateful for that. I love my family. That's kind of my wild. We just like deals, you know. But education's expensive these days.
I know, right?
Interesting thing. But that's a whole other hidden chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell anybody I said that.
Okay.
But
this silent vault.
You know, go to the college thing, write songs like crazy, learn about everything, somehow get a publishing deal, making coffee, parking cars, writing songs on the back of little valet tickets.
Oh, wow.
Which probably never even became songs, but at least gets ideas in a way that you figure out how these work and that it doesn't always have to be four lines as long as it sounds cool.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always even have to rhyme. It's good if it rhymes. Helps the children and drunk people. which is good.
Which is a lot of the audience.
Which is me, too. That's not me slamming on them. It's like, I love whoa-ohs, you know?
Yeah.
And children and drunk people can sing whoa-oh.
Barefoot Blue Jean has some whoa-ohs.
Yeah. And, you know, I think then there's the chapter where you go, where you're walking through the field of poppies and you see Oz. You're like, I'm here. I have a record deal. Oz is just right there. There's the radio tower.
And how does that feel when you realize that you're in Oz? Do you even know you got to Oz until you just all of a sudden are in it?
Yeah, you're just like, holy crap. And then you see behind the walls of Oz and you go, wow, I never thought that was there. And you go, dang, I didn't think it worked like this.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, how do I maneuver around these walls, you know, to where people can see what I want them to see in a good way.
Because at that point, when you get to Oz, a lot of other people get involved in your creativity.
Absolutely.
Which is a good...
And they say, you should be made of this stuffing, and you should be shined this way. And you go, I just want to go home and tell you the stories about where that was from.
And you're like, that doesn't feel right. But then you're like, well, they might know better. Is there ever that point in your career?
Yeah. People are right now are like, what the heck are they talking about? But
it makes sense to me.
It'd be a little bit of, you know, and it's... The chapter I'm in right now is going... I know what I am.
Who and are I, you? To you, who
I'm
are you?
I'm a storyteller that's trying to tell people good stuff.
You're a storyteller.
But I'm an entertainer, too, so I might not always just tell you deep stories.
Not all stories have to be deep.
Yeah.
They just have to be yours.
It was a bummer. I think I upset a lot of my fans through doing High Class, and I was like, I'm just here to entertain you. I just gave you, like, the deepest ballad I could have ever sung for you. Like, I'm just giving you a break from the heartbreak, you know? And it's like, I'm just here to shake it. Don't you want to go dancing, darling?
Maybe people want you to break their heart.
And I'll break their heart again, dang it. But it is interesting. And just understanding, you know, you can't move too fast when you're dating somebody. And that's the relationship between what we do as entertainers and our fans. And make sure you don't twerk it a little too much, you know? But
it's an interesting line to walk.
Yeah. But it's
So would you say in your discovery phase right now? Or putting it all together? Or?
I'm realizing who I look up to.
Who is that?
Not realizing who I look up to. I'm realizing the people I look up to always stand up for what they believe in.
Okay, give me some examples.
You too. Honestly, Beyonce.
Yeah.
Totally look up to her. Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
Tom Petty. He just doesn't put up with the BS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got out of so many... He did so many things to make sure the music he wanted people to hear got heard.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the music he wanted to make, he made.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to get heard. Hopefully it does. Bruce Springsteen. Storyteller. Good dude. Like, not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney. Like, to go through all that, to be one of the coolest guys on the face of the planet, and not be like, don't you know who I think I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know, rock and roll royalty. Steven Tyler, just such a cool place of where he is in life. And it's, I respect people like Johnny Cash. I never got to meet him, but I love his later albums because I realized that he'd gone through so much darkness and he only showed the light at the end.
Wow.
You know, and the fact that he even survived, you know, thank God, you know, he sent June to him. And that Johnny even listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Made her pretty enough for him to listen.
I feel like you're writing like a story right now.
That's what I do. I just don't ever write them.
Made her pretty enough to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's another song.
It could be. You never know. Maybe it'll show up again and we'll write it. But
so you like authentic people?
Authentic. I like authentic people. I only trust authentic.
I agree.
I'll dance to unauthentic, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I want to like hang out at your house all the time.
I get you. I feel you.
I don't want to live in that universe of, you know. I still love entertainment, and I still love going to the magic show. And
why
I still
do you,
like being the magician, you know.
Why do
pulling
you not
out
want
a
to
high
live
class
in that world?
Even when people don't expect it.
Right. Why do you not want to live in that world of unauthenticness?
Because we weren't sent down here to be fake our whole lives. We weren't supposed to wear masks. We weren't supposed to be only about me and myself and iPhone, you know. So many people are caught up in themselves. I read a book and the author interviewed this famous poet, and she was like in her 80s or 90s at the time. She said, if you could give us any advice, what would you give the world? Like, what would you tell us? And it wasn't a poem. It wasn't, you'd think it'd be like the most beautiful poem she ever heard. She said, this is the advice I'd give. In your 20s and 30s, you're so concerned with what people think about you. Then in your 30s and 40s, you just don't care what people think about mm-hmm. you. And then in your 50s and 60s and 70s, you realize that everyone was just concerned about themselves. They were so concerned about what people thought about them that they weren't even concerned about you.
So if you can learn that in your 30s, you really have a head start.
That means... you have the freedom to be you.
But you have to know that.
But you have to know that.
See, you know that young.
And if you have friends that judge you, they're not your friends.
Exactly.
Don't hang out with that.
Don't hang out with that. You have to be
yourself. Move to another town if your friends are all like that.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, and I think, you know, just, you know, people are so caught up in what they look like. It's like, you know.
They're not thinking
about
anybody
else.
There's
so much more to life.
I know. When did this click for you? When did you get this understanding of the world?
After a few songs didn't work.
It's kind of, I feel like, God, do you think God does that to us sometimes?
Absolutely. Books found me. I don't read, and I somehow read like two books in a month.
What
and
books?
They were, one was called David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell. Very cool. And another song was called Big Magic.
Big Magic changed my life.
Pretty cool, right?
Did you love that book?
Yeah, that's where the story was from the poet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I love that book.
Yeah.
Big Magic, the way she describes creativity and all of that.
It's very cool.
Incredible. You're very wise. How old are you? You're like barely 30.
I'm only 18. I'm kidding. I'm 33.
Not 33.
Bam.
We're twins.
See?
Hey.
I should have gone to public school in
I did.
Waco.
I didn't learn anything. I don't really retain any knowledge.
Me neither.
But I'm street smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. I just feel like you have a message to tell the world. Like, I really do. I don't. You feel that. I know you feel that. What is the message you're trying to tell people?
God loves you. It's not just about you. And some days it is.
But he's using you to help the world.
It's so much about everyone. Everyone is as important as everybody, which it's hard to see that.
But it's not.
Well, if you see people lost in life, you could go like, well, they don't matter as much. Or if you see, which is wild, you look at some celebrities and you go like, dear Lord, please, if I have children, don't grow up to be that. Except you stick them on pedestals because it's entertaining, you know. But I mean, the biggest thing, you know, we're all loved beyond belief.
And like, we're all important.
Yes.
We're all here all for important. A reason.
And it's hard when, like, you know, I have like songs on the radio and you've done really well. And it's like, it's hard for people to go like, yeah, sure, you don't do this job every day. It's like every job, as it said, comes with a crap sandwich. It's called it something else. And you have to love what you do enough to understand that I kind of want to eat that crap sandwich, even though, you know, not everything is like, you know, the rain causes stuff to grow. You don't have to be upset at the rain. It's okay.
Gosh, you are a prophet. You're a philosopher.
Well, whatever. But
also,
I'm just talking what I was influenced through records that I love, you know.
But also, I do say people can say it's easy because you don't understand because you don't have the job I have. But you also, no one handed you this on a silver platter. You worked your butt off.
I had a bunch of random jobs.
But you worked your butt off to get here. And so I do believe that if you want this, like you said, anyone could go out there and be Beyonce. Within circumstances, obviously, no one could go out there and be Beyonce.
No, no.
Right, that's not what I meant. I said that, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
we're not all supposed to be Beyonce. Beyonce is supposed to be Beyonce.
But we're supposed to be what we feel in our heart. And if you commit to it enough to follow that, you can end up being Beyonce in your own way.
Yeah. If everyone was Beyonce, some of us would be thirsty. Actually, if we were all, anyway, because there'd be no guy serving drinks like I did, you know? It's all phases of life, you know, and it's it just really is a cool thing getting to go. Just the fact that we live in a country where last night there was a stadium full of people watching a show and getting to enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Just getting to enjoy songs that could say anything.
Right.
Anything.
Right.
It might upset you or it might not, which I don't think anything would have upset you last night. But it's really cool just to be on a journey that somehow I've been blessed to actually live the dream that I dreamt, you know?
Right.
And also know that, you know, it takes a while to push a heavy rock uphill, but it means it'll roll for a while.
And it might roll back,
you know?
And like roll over your toe
and
every now and then.
If I wanted to make my career out of plastic, it'd be a lot easier to push that boulder up the hill, but it won't go that long.
All right.
And that's kind of where I'm at as an artist and a writer and just as a man going, you know what? This is what I love. This is what I believe in. And this is the music I'm going to bring you. And sometimes I might just entertain you.
But it's still music that you want to bring you.
Yeah.
It's still you.
Yeah.
It's still from your heart.
Absolutely. Or from my dancing shoes.
Which you do have some moves. You really do. You really do have some moves.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Okay, so tell me about this new album.
Dressed in Black.
Ooh, la la.
There's references to Dressed in Black all over the album. And the deep thoughts is, just the surface value is there's so many cool, big moments in life that you're dressed in black, from a graduation to getting married to
when you
a black hearse, you know?
Wow. And, dang.
And there's so many influential people from, you know, Lou Gehrig, today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth, you know, was wearing black pinstripes.
But did Lou Gehrig say that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I consider myself one of the luckiest men on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Even though he has ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease.
Absolutely. That was the day that he
So he was able to
baseball.
Say positive through everything.
Yeah. And that's how we start the song off. And from that to a bottle of Jack, the black label, to a Ramones t-shirt, so much attitude. To Dale Earnhardt driving a black number 3 car, to Johnny Cash, the man in black.
Dang.
And to, you know, wedding bells. And it's just kind of a big spectrum, I think, kind of looking down on the whole movie happening as opposed to just right at the jukebox. And just thought it was a cool title for the song, for
what
the album.
What a cool breakdown of that.
And also the deeper underlying thought is, if you know, you're surrounded in light, you're dressed in black because you're just a shadow in it, you know.
Oh, wow.
And that's another deep thought. That's kind of my spiritual side.
You are really deep. Are you very connected to your spiritual side all the time? Are you aware that you are here for a calling?
I'm grateful that God allowed me to know him.
How did you learn to how did you meet God?
Just through people in my life that I saw that they had something I didn't. And I said, what is that? That's worth living for. And just grateful that God let me know who he was.
Did you have a specific moment where it clicked and you're like, oh, I get it. I feel it.
Never.
No,
you have that moment where you go, you know, I know Jesus died for me and here I am. And he was always here to begin with.
Yeah.
You just have to go.
I see you.
I'm reaching for you. It's not like I've ever felt a hand on my shoulder or angels, you know, on the hood of my car or anything like that. It's like Billy Graham said, I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of the wind.
Mm.
And it's just pieces of proof.
Okay, so you've experienced real life stuff.
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay, speaking of angels, let's talk about angels.
Angels in this town.
Yeah.
We were talking on a writer's retreat, Mr. Corey Crowder. And Eric Dillon, we were just telling those stories where make your hair stand on end of the miraculous stuff. Speaking of, sometimes people do see miraculous things happen that I think are godsends. And, you know, people can get upset. It's like, well, why didn't God send a miracle this time? You know, like when someone was sick. And I don't have that answer. But I know that the fact that he sends any is... one miracle is one more than he should have ever sent, you know, in a way,
mm-hmm.
which is, that's a deeper thought.
No,
but,
I like it.
But just telling those stories, and Corey had great music and that's what fell out, you know?
So tell me about what that song is, Angels in This Town. 'Cause that's your single right now.
Yeah. It's just about the fact that there's the unseen that we don't see. Like there's so much amazing things going on around us that we don't see, and it's probably good we can't. But also, you never know. The story that I think started the whole song, I'd heard a story once where a girl went down the street a few blocks to a friend's party, birthday party type thing, high school kid, I think, went to walk home. Like, the parents were like, we'll drive her, whatever. Walked home, nice neighborhood where it's like the alley with the garages on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
A guy was standing back there, and she just was like, Lord, please protect me. Like, she just knew something wasn't right. Like, Father, please protect me. Please protect me. And just walked right by him. Got home, went to bed. Next morning, woke up to police everywhere. A girl had been murdered in that same alley that night. They had caught the guy, and it was the same guy that she saw.
Wow.
That walked past. And just to get into the guy's head, the murderer's head, like, they're like, well, why didn't you pick this girl? And he said, I'm not going to pick a girl with two giant guys walking with her.
Oh, wow.
So
it's giving me chills.
So many times, what can we not see that God actually is protecting us?
Right.
If you ask.
I love that.
And that doesn't mean it's always in the plan. That's kind of where it started, and just those miraculous
stories.
There's
angels in every town.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, just a cool thing for me to do. It's like I'm sitting on a bus or in a hotel or wherever it is that we're waiting to play a show. It's like, you know what? We never see towns we go to. So I always try to do that to begin with. But I was like, there's so many great people in this town, and it's God sends miracles. I believe in miracles, but I also believe that he has us. To do miracles in each other's lives. Like, wow. One little thing down the road we do for someone might have been something they've been praying for years.
Totally.
And we don't know that. It was like nothing to us to go help them change their tires.
But that was a miracle for them.
You know, like, here's $200 to give you new tires.
And that could have been the thing that changed
whatever
their destiny.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not even buying stuff. It's just helping people. But we get to go, like, I mean, from police departments and fire departments, Boys and Girls Club, Habitat for Humanity builds. I always feel guilty when we go to Habitat for Humanity and they're like donating the house. I'm like, I want to build. I want to help you, you know, but it's such a cool moment to see a family get a house that they've worked so hard for and a community come together to do
that.
So
you're kind of starting a thing, Angels in this
Town?
Yeah,
we call them angel visits. And it's just easy. Because I believe there are angels in this town and in every town that help the community they're in, and they create miracles.
And that's what you're doing. You go to towns and you provide angel visits.
Yeah. Almost every, at least one or two times a weekend, as long as people are cool with us showing up.
Eric.
Yeah.
How has that enriched your life?
It's been awesome. Getting to meet all kinds of kids and just cool people in communities that aren't afraid to step out and just do good, you know? Not really. I mean, most of them are just in the background, you know, even though they're probably the guy that framed the whole house or have worked at the Boys and Girls Club for 35 years. And,
that's
you know,
freaking awesome.
So it's just kind of it's cool to be a part of that community and just encourage people. Thank them for doing good. Not thank them for like being ridiculous.
I know. Focus on the positive.
Yeah. Focus on the positive, even though that's not what the news is about. But
I know. But you're going to change that story.
Oh, I'll at least tell the story.
You'll do your part. So tell me a little bit more about the rest of the album. Like, what's the vibe of it?
It's just good stories.
You are a true storyteller.
But it's good music too. Mm-hmm. You can listen to the lines or just listen to the music, and I love both of it. There's just fun, happy songs and some deep, thoughtful songs that I think are almost all of them are more hopeful than sad.
I love that.
Because if you get to hear a sad story, maybe you won't go there, you know?
That's true.
If it's not your own autobiography.
Maybe that's enough just to make you go in a different direction.
But just cool moments and things that we captured in the studio that were just like, wow, that was cool. Like, thanks for letting that fall out of the sky.
That's cool.
But I'm really just looking forward to people getting to hear the album and figuring out when that'll come out and what way it'll come out.
Do you have a song that you like the most on the album?
I've written 1,300 and something songs, and I've only had one album out, so.
So they're all your kids?
Yeah, I mean, they're all, they're not my kids, because they're not my kids, but you got to learn how to love them right without it disappointing you, and.
Like, you don't have expectations for them?
Yeah, like with songs, because I don't have control over that, and even if I have kids someday, I don't have control over how they decide. I can encourage them to hopefully do good, but I think parents take it out on themselves too much about what their kids do. And it's like, your kids still had to make the decision. It wasn't your decision to make.
So you
That's
said
a
you,
whole other deep
You have
thought.
To learn how to love them the right way. So how do you love a song the right way? When you write a song and you love it, but then maybe no one at the label hears it or it never really gets the life it was meant to have. What do you do?
Even if you raise and feed a bird, you can't tell it where to fly, you know? You hopefully believe that it's supposed to go where it's supposed to go and people get to see it and enjoy it. But there's a certain point where you just have to open the cage and do with this what you will, you know?
Yeah.
Like, love it or shoot it, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's really good to eat, but, I'm writing all kinds of songs, but,
I know, you really are.
But it's, I love them all. It's that thing. It's like life's not the same heartbeat. So it's like there's fun songs and there's sassy songs and there's dancing songs and there's storytelling songs and
you're not all the
end
same
of my
person
life,
there's a lot of sides to you.
Well, there's a lot of sides to everybody.
Exactly.
You know, we might all wear the same face every day, but we're not always happy.
Yeah.
We're not always sad. We're not always
everyone's
you know.
Dimensional.
Yeah. And that's the albums I like making, even though it confuses people because it's like, what artist are you? I'm like, I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I write stories. I write melodies. I'm not going to bring you the exact same song because I'd rather show you more than just a white rabbit out of a hat every time.
Mm-hmm.
I might put brown hairs on them this time and freak you out. God forbid.
Or what if you put on a rat?
You could. It'd really make them dance and then let them go in the audience. No, but it's... And that's, and I've made that decision just because that's how I like being entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if listeners have necessarily, well, they have, deep thoughts, but you know, it's, we so like going, well, we need to go to Walmart or we need to go to McDonald's or we need to go to Taco Bell, which I love all those places. It's very simple. But I'd rather not make albums of just one thing, which country music is not one thing.
No.
If you listen to the history of country music, it's about the human soul and just about being alive and that it's not always easy.
It never is always easy.
And that that it's a cool journey and that you admire the people that came before you, even if they might not have believed in what you believe, but they at least had the right heart for what they did. Mm-hmm. And it's just grateful to be a part of country music and just the fact that we can tell stories about our lives. And if it wasn't our lives, at least it could be somebody else's.
And you can affect the world.
You might.
You have.
You know. Well, thank you.
Okay, so we have to wrap up, which I don't want to. Have I covered everything?
I think I have, dear Lord.
I mean, we could just talk forever, but...
One more thing.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh. Give it to me.
I don't have anything. I think I said as many songwriter lines as I could possibly confuse everybody with.
Okay, I have two more questions, then we're going to wrap up. Where, if it was up to you, and I know you live on faith and I know you trust your journey, but if you could play your life out, what would the next 10 years look like for you?
Doing the same thing I'm doing. And maybe not play, or you know, doing what I'm doing, but also scheduling time because it's you can't make more time. And to where I'm a part of Nashville more, because I was a part of Nashville for so long, and then you go out on the road, and you know this probably just through your husband and you being on the road, and you know, making sure that you're wise with your time, and that's for everybody to go, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't see a benefit in that for me in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
It might solve a problem right now
in
your small world of, but if we do this, we can do this. And I go, you know what? I'm okay.
Yeah.
They'll understand why I said no, because I'm going to be home on Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
And the next 10 years, making great songs I believe in, impacting the world for good, telling kids it's cool to do good, not to be a ridiculous celebrity. Like, if you want to be a celebrity, go do great stuff. I'll make you a celebrity all day long.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a celebrity and go do things that are not good for the soul, don't sign me up. I won't be at that party.
I love that.
But I'll still show up to parties with people that have done that, and maybe it'll help them influence them for better.
Right.
You know, I sound like I'm judging people. I haven't said anybody's name, but
people
we're all searching for what we're supposed to be living for, you know, and
we're all on a different path. And sometimes people just don't have the awareness that there is a soul purpose.
It's hard living in a house of mirrors, you know,
right?
I need to take all these mirrors down.
There's no mirrors in this house.
I don't think there are. I probably should get one once in a while.
Okay, so I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light. So leave me inspiration. This whole thing has been an inspiring podcast, but just leave your inspiration from it all, what you want to leave to people.
Be who you are. Not jaded. Not lonely. Not thinking you're unloved. But knowing that there's a bigger love out there for everybody. And, the more you sit still and unafraid to reach out, unafraid of what people think about you, I think the more fulfilled you'll be in life and the more you'll understand what road you're actually supposed to be walking down as opposed to the line that we're all taught to be standing in, waiting for that thing to happen. It's like, I think everybody's taught, you know, go to school, get a job you hate for 30 years, and then you'll get to retire with something you love. I figure, why not just do what you love every day?
Amen to that.
You know. And thank you to all those people who are freaking working hard for their families, too.
Yeah. And with that, drop the mic.
Bam.
Eric Pasley in the house. Thanks, Eric.
Deep.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's up?
I hope you loved hearing from Eric Pasley. He's absolutely incredible. Next week is super exciting because I have Kale Dodds joining me. He is the newest artist to be signed to Warner Brothers record label. He has so much to talk about. He is so high energy. He's so talented. He also co-wrote Drunk Dial for my husband, A Thousand Horses Band, that was a single last year. He is up and coming and so much fun. So y'all get excited for next week. We have Kale Dodds, and make sure you subscribe on iTunes.